Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Join us live in our chat room if you're at home. Listening online, go to darknessradio.com. Click on live chat. Join in. It's cheap. It's free. It's fun. You can sit there and chat with other like-minded individuals that are involved in the paranormal field and have interests just like yours. We'll also take your questions. If you have questions for our guests this evening and you are in the chat room, first of all, thanks for joining us there. And feel free to, Robert L. Bobcat, we are live tonight. I'm reading the names in the chat room so that way they know we're here.
Yeah.
And if you have questions and you'd like us to put it on the show tonight, then all we ask you to do is private message Tim, Darkness Radio Tim, in the chat room, and he will make sure to get that on the air, and we'll get it asked for you this evening.
Was it Romper Room where it was like, I see Robert, and Don, and I see Andy.
And Sleeping in PA. Yeah, that's Romper Stomper Bomper Boo, baby.
There you go.
Hey, real quick, a couple of things. First off, the Halloween Story Contest. We're still accepting stories. Because what we've decided to do is we're going to roll all the stuff over. Once we've got enough stories, we're going to put together a little booklet that we're going to make available, and we're going to get it published out. The money that we raise off the sale of the book will go directly. Every penny that comes over the original cost of the book will go directly to Second Harvest Heartland to help them with food shelves nationwide. So I hope you guys will keep sending in. Submit if you've written a scary story. It doesn't have to be for Halloween, but it has to be your original story. We have to be able to get your sign-off that we can have this story to read on the show and that we can publish it in a book, and you will get absolutely nothing but the glory of having your name published in a book and mentioned on the air. Then we're going to take these stories, and periodically through the next year here, we're going to read stories on the air. What do you think, Tim?
I like it.
So we'll start off. We'll do a couple of stories here and there throughout the year, and we'll put together a nice little booklet. So we do have that address for people. So if you have scary stories that you've written, and then it would be up to 2,500 words long, feel free to send them over to dave@darknessradio.com. Please make them scary, make them fun, make them original, and you can feel free to incorporate Tim and I. I know a bunch of these stories have got Tim and I as characters in them. So some interesting stuff, some with a little bit of a funny twist to them. So check that out. Hey, also, Tim and I would like to be your friend. Go to darknessradio.com. You'll see the links to Tim's MySpace page and my MySpace page. Click on it. That way you can keep in touch with us, find out who's coming up on our show, because we post every weekend letting you know what our guests are and what topics we're going to be covering. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking to Brian, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Riggy. I don't know.
All righty.
Ghosts and apparitions and poltergeists. We're going to talk to them about that tomorrow. And then we have the guys from the Ghost Adventures crew. Mm-hmm. Zach and Nick are going to be on with us. We're going to be talking about their TV show. Very successful. And rumor has it season 2 was just ordered.
Really?
For the Travel Channel, yeah. So there's going to be that. Plus, we have coming up, Tim, I'm going to be going out live to Bobby Mackey's. We're going to do a live ghost hunting conference hosted by the guys from the Ghost Adventures, and I'll be out there. It's Bobby Mackey's Music Club Live Ghost Hunting Conference, as featured in the Ghost Adventures premiere episode and home to the notorious Hell's Gate. It's a well that's been uncovered in the basement of this location. We're going to investigate this old slaughterhouse with over 29 sworn affidavits from credible sources of their own ghost experiences. One of the only locations in the world where management had to post a liability sign because of their ghosts as you enter the premises. So it's going to be interesting. For all the information, go to darknessevents.com and click on it. We've got Zach, Nick, and Aaron from Ghost Adventures are going to be there. I'm going to be there. Bishop James Long, the exorcist, is going to be there. Mark and Debbie Constantino, the EVP specialists. Doug Hensley, the author of Hell's Gate, Terror at Bobby Mackey's. And there's going to be a special live performance by country music star Bobby Mackey. So we're going to be out there. The details of this event, it starts off on a Tuesday, January 20th, goes Wednesday, the 23rd. First and on Thursday the 22nd. So for all that information, go to our website, click on the banner, it'll take you to their page and show you how you can order tickets and be a part of this event with us. Those guys are going to be joining us tomorrow night right here on Darkness Radio, so stay tuned. I think that about covers all the news I got to mention today. I will mention we do have a couple other trips that are up right now, and tickets are moving pretty fast. We've got a lot of people that were interested in coming on to our Waverly Hills event, which is going to take place May 2009. We're limiting it to less than 100 people, and you get 2 nights to investigate. We have 2 different ways to do it. You can do a 2-night event with us where you can come in and ghost hunt, or you can just buy a 1-day pass, come in and hear the talks that day, and go to the ghost hunt that night.
There you go.
We're trying to make it economical for those people that would like to do this as a Christmas gift. You can buy the package. We'll even send out an email certificate to you that you can present to your loved ones as a gift for the event. So check that out. And then we do have a UFO event that we're going to be doing, and we're going to be taking that out on the road in August 2009. We're going to the Yosetti Ranch, James Gilliland's ranch, as featured on the hit TV series Paranormal State. If you saw that episode, First Contact, I was in there. That's the location I've been to three times and have seen UFO activity above the skies and what I believe was an alien. So interesting stuff. Check that out. Right now, though, we're going to go to our phone lines. This evening, we're going to be joined by our guest. His name is Robert Stanley. And Robert, thank you very much for joining us here this evening. Your book looks extremely interesting, Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. First of all, thank you and welcome to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, Tim.
With the book, now, you know, I was researching, going over the information on your website and some of the photographs. Now, I was familiar with what year was it? Was it the 49 or was it the one in 1952 with the photographs of the UFOs that appeared on Life magazine?
That would have been 1952.
Okay, so that was the 1952 series. According to your website and the information in the book, the first sighting was actually in Washington in 1850. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I dug up. I mean, I there's no photographs. There's really, and it wasn't even a very clear. Well, they called it an airship back then. They didn't know what it was.
Right.
The term UFO didn't exist. They certainly didn't think people could fly, let alone people from other worlds. So, what else are they going to call it? Just an airship or a ghost light? You know, there's the terminology has changed, but I think that the phenomenon has pretty much stayed the same.
Now, it's continuing on into 2008. How is that possible with the restricted airspace, especially over our capital that we have since 9/11? How are these things still popping up and we're not able to knock them down or get any better footage of them at this point?
Well, getting the footage has not been a problem. That's why I did the investigation, because July 16th of 2002, there was a professional photographer who lives in D.C. who was at the Capitol at about 12:30 in the morning shooting an album cover for a local recording artist. And that's when he accidentally caught these UFOs on film flying over the Capitol and even one of them landing on the roof. So you can imagine how the D.C., the Capitol Police reacted when they were presented with this information.
And this is actually, now they have video evidence, did you say, or photographic evidence of this?
Photographic evidence on film that's been analyzed. It's authentic. Now, when the photographer, I should explain, the photographer had worked for ABC News for 14 years prior to that, taking those shots. 8 of those years, he actually worked at the White House and on Air Force One and Marine One. So he had a pretty good security clearance. And that particular year, he had transitioned away from ABC and was working freelance. And that's how he ended up at the Capitol that night. But, I mean, he'd worked at the Capitol and the White House for many years for ABC. when he took those pictures, the first thing he decided to do, I mean, the next day when he developed it and he looked at it, he said, wow. And he went to the Capitol and requested to speak to somebody in charge, and said he wanted to, you know, make sure that they knew that this was going on. And the detective, he met with the people in the detective division and gave them copies of the photographs, and they looked at them, and they took his statement. So, but they wouldn't talk to me, and they didn't want to make any official comment. They did. They basically told me, their public relations officer told me that they would neither confirm nor deny that they actually had opened a file on this. However, it is, like you said, okay, bottom line is it's prohibited airspace, and it is protected in many different ways. But here's the bottom line. You can't just be shooting at UFOs whenever they show up, because they tried that in 52, and it got a little dicey, and we lost some aircraft. And the military got really nervous at that point. It's one of the reasons for all the secrecy, is because even though these things don't appear overtly hostile, they're obviously very advanced. And our best military jets at the time couldn't seem to catch them. And they were sort of, the UFOs were toying with the jets, and at some point, even though this is not widely reported, according to Bill Burns, he had interviewed some the sons of one guy, I guess Black Mac Magruder, was one of these World War II veteran pilots that would been called to the Pentagon to watch what was going on there, and apparently he watched as the UFOs literally disintegrated one of our jets, as a defensive maneuver, I think.
Really? But it just disintegrated? No residue whatsoever? Just was gone?
It just vanished. It just vanished. I don't think they beamed it up. I really think they disintegrated it. I mean, it's what appears to have happened, because that wasn't an isolated incident, although that was the summer of 52. And the media reported that the UFO showed up over the Capitol two or three times that year. That, from what I found, they'd actually showed up 22 times over the Capitol that year, and that's why the military was so nervous. However, it wasn't the first time. The first military attempted a military intercept of a UFO over Washington, D.C. by the military Air Force was 1948. And as you can see on my website, there's a picture there at the top of the UFOs over the Pentagon in 1949,
right.
And that was taken by an Air Force officer who worked at the Pentagon, who was just coming back from a July 4th picnic with his family, happened to have his camera in the car, didn't even stop the car, just took the pictures as he was going by, and because he worked at the Pentagon, he took two pictures, and he only handed over one to his supervisor and actually kept the other one for his private collection. And that only surfaced recently. So yeah, there's a lot of clues out there. But I got to tell you, what went down in 52 was significant. I mean, hugely significant to the military, because it's one of the reasons we're not seeing all the pictures and photographs that were taken. What I was told, as I report in the book, is that the military went around confiscating all the cameras and film from everybody in the area, because there were hundreds of people historically in the records. It says that hundreds of people were standing out on the National Mall watching these things fly by and taking pictures and or movies. So that's where that one movie that's posted on my website came from. And in fact, it's still classified. That's never been declassified. It was just leaked in, I think it was October of 2005. Yeah, it was October of 2005 when that first leaked.
Well, now, let me ask you, with that footage, what kind of authentication went into that? Because there's so many of the footage now that if you use the old film stock and film it and do the jittery deal, you can still put in special effects to make it look like there's UFOs flying over the Capitol.
Yeah, I know. I thought of that, too, except, you know, you can actually see as they move across the clouds, it's coloring the clouds. It's got flicker, like the analog flicker. It's got, you know, because it's being run through a... It's a digital copy. Let me put it to you this way. Here's what I think happened, is that the production team for Channel 4 in England went to one of these archives, and I don't know which one it was, because they've got a laundry list at the end of the program of the archives that they did visit for source material. But I think what they did is they went in there, and they were given access to watch an analog film. And at that time, somebody with a handheld camera, a digital camera, camcorder, copied it that way and walked out of the building and had a copy in their possession. I think they really think that's how it got leaked. But in any case, you can actually see mold and scratches coming up. You can see the film actually flickering as it's pulsing through the projector. You can also see... the light actually bends around the dome as they move behind the dome.
Okay.
And when you do an analysis of we've done quite a few analysis frame by frame of the film, it's clear that this isn't something that was computer generated. In other words, it's seamless. And not only that, it matches perfectly the formation, the still shot that everybody, in fact, for the longest time, in fact, until 2005, there was only one picture of the UFOs flying over the Capitol, and even that was accidentally given to some guy named Augie Roberts that lived back there. He got it from a friend of his was a photographer for a newspaper who happened to be there taking the pictures, and I guess, you know, Augie was interested, and he said to his friend, hey, can I have a copy of that? So the guy gave him a copy, and then, you know, next thing you know, the military showed up and confiscated the film.
We have to take a quick break here. We'll come back, Robert, and we'll talk more with you, and we'll take calls if we have callers that are interested in asking Mr. Stanley questions about these sightings. If you're listening to Darkness Radio, good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. Our guest this evening is Robert Stanley. He's the author of Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. Robert, where can people find copies of your book?
Thanks for asking, David. my website is the only place that you can get it at this time. So if people are interested, they'd have to dial up unicusmagazine.com. It's spelled U-N-I-C-U-S magazine.com. And I think you understand that because it's the holidays, that when you order the book, it's going to take a little bit longer than normal. But what I can do is I'll send it priority. Okay, I won't charge anybody any extra money. I'll just make sure that it's sent priority so that it gets there in a reasonable amount of time.
That's great. You also have an e-copy of the book, right? So you can actually buy the e-copy.
If you want to download it, some people don't really like to read the 400 plus pages off of their computer. But if you do, it's a very high quality copy, and either one of the copies of the book, either the print or the digital, comes with a lot of photographs. I mean, I've spent over 3.5 years doing this. The stuff that I had, the reports and the photographs that I haven't published in the book, in the first book, that's all been posted more or less on the website for free. I am writing a second book because in the last couple of years I've actually found quite a bit more data since I published in end of 2006. That's when I published the book, but it was a real shock to me. I got to tell you. Seeing the photographs, meeting the photographer, getting to know the circumstance, which is just utterly bizarre that anybody could photograph something like that, and the media won't touch it. I mean, they'll report on UFOs, but when it comes to Washington, D.C.,
right.
You know, like I said, the guy used to work for ABC News, so who do you think he contacted first
right.
with those photographs? And I don't mean just anybody. He went to the bureau chief because he knows her.
Well, let me mention, too, for our listeners, if you weren't able to get the link, just go to darknessradio.com, click on the upcoming show link. You'll see the picture of Robert there and the book. If you click the book, it'll take you right to his website where you can order your copy, either a hard copy or the electronic book version of it there as well. We're discussing close encounters over the Capitol and the strange encounters that we seem to have right in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And, you know, so many people, that's always their main question to all of the ufologists. If
yep.
they really are out there, why don't they just go land right on the lawn of the White House? And basically they have. They've shown themselves. How many times that you can name just off the top of your head have they made themselves known over Washington?
Over 240 in the last 60 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, too. But, like I said, I've been looking at this for 3.5 years, and I'm still seeing new information popping up. Here's the other problem. The people that live there, as you can imagine, are pretty high profile, most of them.
Right.
Okay, and they do not want to put their professional careers on the line just to tell a story. And the other thing is most of them don't realize that they're not alone, that there's a bigger picture here. There's a context for all of this. Much like I said, the pictures in July 16, 2002 are amazing. I mean, because of the fact that one of them actually landed on the roof, one other one's hovering over the reflecting pool, etc. But 10 days later, they show up again on the July 26th and were chased by NORAD jets because I think they didn't want them trying to land again. I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. We haven't had a dialogue with them, unfortunately, but people on the ground between 1 and 3 in the morning were actually seeing the jets chasing these things through the area.
Now, let me ask you real quickly here, and for the pictures that he's talking about, if you go click the link to buy his book that's on our site, it'll actually take you to this page with the photographs. Now, one question I have for you real quickly, Robert. The first picture of July 2002 that you have where it looks like there's something that's landed on the roof,
mm-hmm.
Dealing in the paranormal field, we do a lot with what we call orb photography and, dust or light reflection. To me, the one that appears to be on the roof, it looks like the atypical orb phenomena that we see in the paranormal ghost hunting field all the time. Have you seen the pictures that lead up to that or before to actually see this in any kind of motion, like it looks like it's coming down to the roof? Or is this the only
Absolutely.
Still photograph?
Yeah, no, I've seen all the photographs, and it definitely, it's coming down. It leaves the area, too. You can actually see that. I think that's the other picture next to it. You can see at one point there's two of them. They're up in the air, and then at the other point, the other shot, one of them is on the roof. So one of them is actually, and you can see they're different distances from the lens, too. And it's not a short distance either. That thing's huge. That thing
right.
is, I mean, when I say huge, it's not a piece of dust on the lens. And besides that, dust cannot create, that's nighttime. Okay, dust doesn't, even with a good flash, you're not going to get something that bright consistently throughout the film like that. And, you know, the other thing is, this is not a cheap digital camera.
Right.
He was using an analog, I think it was, I think it's all in the book, but I think it was a Nikon F something, and using Nikkor lenses on a stable tripod. This is a professional photographer, and so we assume that you know, that that thing on the roof was the size of an SUV or larger. You know, once you look through the actual energy field around the craft, because that seems to be part of their propulsion, is this energy field, right? So it's kind of hard to see through that to the actual physical craft. But that thing is big. It's definitely not just a little speck on the film.
So you're saying that the light form we see is more of the what you believe to be the energetic field that it's traveling within?
Correct.
And the craft is contained inside the light form?
Well, it's called field propulsion. I've got a couple chapters on that where I discuss that with people that would know it better than, you know, I mean, these are experts. I interviewed quite a few experts about this, not just Washington, D.C., but the phenomenon itself, and not just UFOs. I really delve very deeply into the extraterrestrial themselves because I've had quite a few years studying them, and believe it or not, I actually interviewed a guy who claims he's an E.T., a human E.T. that's living here among us. And I know that sounds pretty far-fetched, but, you know.
No, we've talked to a few of them that have been on our show that claim that they're from other planets.
I don't mean somebody who just claims they walked
hybrids.
In.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about somebody that claims they were brought here as an infant. And, I know that's super controversial, but, you know, who else are you going to talk to? It's like,
right.
Part of the problem here is that we're not having a direct dialogue with the occupants of these craft. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's problems on their side or our side or both. I mean, clearly, you know, look at what's, D.C.'s got a lot of problems, and I could see why it would be very difficult to open up some kind of public dialogue. But, you know, at some point that has to happen. Okay, this secrecy is just stupid. I know the government, the military, they think they have their rationale for why they can't tell us, but at some point, I personally believe we should just put it to a vote globally, since this is a global issue. It's not a D.C. thing or American thing. These things are seen all over the world. It's kind of not surprising in a way that they're seen in D.C. What blew my mind was the frequency with which they're being seen in D.C., and nobody is reporting it, not even the people. When I took this story to people that I know within the UFO research community, most of them said, oh, there's nothing going on there. This can't be, you know. That's just not right.
Understandable.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, hey, just deal with it because it's not going away. In fact, that's why I wrote that open letter to President-elect Obama. Not for him. It was for the general public to understand that, look, this is the mindset of people like John Podesta. He, on one hand, he goes out and says, we need a disclosure. Okay, so when I contacted his office, they said, well, we can't get you anybody to comment on what's going on in D.C. And I said, why not? And they said, because nobody in any official capacity is willing to come forward and take the heat for this.
Right.
Because the public will hold them accountable. They're going to say, well, what are you, whoever comes forward, what are you going to do about it? And the truth is, I don't think there's much they can do about it. We're talking about something that is a whole level beyond what, you know, our technology is currently at.
No doubt. We have to take another break here. Stay with us, Mr. Stanley, and all of you listening. This is Darkness Radio, Paranormal Talk Radio, and we're talking to Robert Stanley, who is the author of Close Encounters over the Capitol. And if you would like information on this book or to order, you can go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the upcoming shows, and there's a link there to buy the book and to find his webpage. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We have a special guest tomorrow night, Tim, who's going to be doing our book review. Normally, it's the lovely Susan Cummins.
Yeah.
But tomorrow night, we're going to be having a book review of the Ghosts of the White House book by Jeff Bellinger,
mm-hmm.
the President's Mansion and the Ghosts That Live There.
Yep.
My son.
Really?
Nathan is going to come on and do a book review for us.
Well, there you go.
He's going to give us a shot. Since it's a tween book, it's meant for younger ghost hunters. I wanted him to read it. He loved it. I'm going to have him explain to us what he thought of it. I also want to mention, for those of you listening to the news, they're finding more information regarding the Kaylee Anthony case with the what they believe is finding the remains over the last week.
Yep.
And if you remember, we had criminal psychic profiler Robbie Thomas on the show about a month ago. And he gave us a bunch of information, which I did in turn email over to the Orlando Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
And now they found the body. I'm not saying that there's a correlation, but we're going to be reviewing this week the news to listen to what's going on and what details they will let out. And then we're going to go back and compare it with what Robbie told us. And some startling facts, like the fact that Robbie did say the body would be found underwater.
Yeah.
And this body has been underwater since it was buried, it appears.
Yep.
So we've got some definite correlation there. So check it out. We're going to go back to our guest right now is Robert Stanley. And Mr. Stanley is talking to us about his book, which is Close Encounters Over the Capitol. And again, we have links for it on our website if you'd like to buy a copy of the book. He has both the electronic version you can buy and download immediately, or he does have the hard copy. And again, you were saying, Robert, that it'll probably take a little bit longer with the holidays here to get the book out to you, correct?
Yeah, but I'd be more than happy to send them out priority, no extra charge for anybody that's interested to get them, within a reasonable amount of time.
Great. And now, how many? You mentioned that the electronic book is over 400 pages. How many is the actual book?
It's same thing.
Wow, great. Okay, so you've got a lot of in-depth information. One thing that was interesting to me, you made a comment about, we should just vote and have the people come forward. Doesn't that then? That puts the government, I'm not protecting them, understand at all. I think it's shady too, but doesn't that put the government into a spooky situation where now we have to come forward and admit we've lied for the last 60 years about all this?
I wanted to do an end run around disclosure. I'm sorry to make that more clear.
Sure.
It's a little bit past my bedtime.
No problem.
what I'm thinking is that we do a global vote through the internet and see how many people respond favorably. And here's the question. Should we invite benevolent extraterrestrials to visit us openly, yes or no? I think that if we get over 50% of the people, respondents, saying yes, we should invite them, then there probably will be a movement towards doing that, a grassroots movement to do that. And I also think it legally opens up a door that nobody ever considered before. As far as the good guys, I think even if they had the best of intentions, if they showed up in large numbers and just landed, the military for sure would think it was an invasion. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people would panic. And, it wouldn't go as well as if we were to just make it clear to whoever that, we're welcoming you to come and have a dialogue with us, an open exchange. It's the only way we're going to get any straight answers, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Do you think, though, that by bringing, even if we had over 50% of the world come forward and say, yeah, we want, we got 55% of the world coming forward saying we want contact with an alien race as long as they don't mean us harm.
Right.
That still leaves 40 to 45% of the world saying, hey, screw that. We don't want these guys here.
I understand that.
How do we, do you think, as a public, end around that? It's going to be frightening, even if they're good. Hollywood has conditioned us so much that we're going to think there's some kind of hidden agenda no matter what happens with these guys, no matter the propaganda we spin. And listen, they're able to traverse dimensions and universes to get to us. If they wanted to wipe us out, we'd be dead already.
That's a very interesting argument, Dave. There's one other possibility, one other very, very frightening possibility. And I hesitate to even say this, but, we've come this far. Let's go the distance. What if the bad guys are running the show here? What if this is just a colony of a larger galactic empire? What if the good guys that try and come down here to interface with us are being shut out, forcibly shut out from having an interface, having a dialogue with us, so that we are not told the truth of how we got here and the situation that we find ourselves in?
Now, that's interesting. You mentioned how we got here. Do you believe that we are not from this planet as well?
Well, if you read the chapter with the interview with this guy we're going to call J.W., that's exactly what he said, is that this is a colony. He says, and here's the other thing. You talk about little Kaylee. That's tragic, okay? But at least we know where she ended up. However, there are literally thousands of children that go missing every year here in America, and they're never found.
Right.
So
do you think that they are?
I don't want people to be paranoid about this.
No.
There are some very evil entities out there. Just like there are bad people on this planet, there's bad people on other planets as well. Okay? And some of them have come here, as far as I understand. And I've got this information on one level. I got it from a retired Michigan police officer. And he was dead serious about what he saw during his stakeout. And he told me that kids that have been abducted from the neighborhood by other people that lived there were literally turned over to somebody in a UFO that left the scene with those kids, and they never returned.
So you think they're farming us for to what end, to what purpose? Are they just using us genetically to keep themselves alive? Are they testing us to see if we can adapt here?
Here's the thing. That's why I would like to have an open dialogue with even both. I don't care if they are. Honestly, I think that ignoring the fact that they're here is bad for us. That's to our detriment. Having a dialogue, even with the bad guys, is going to give us a little more intelligence on what they want. Okay. Now, people like Jim Sparks have claims that, you know, he's got it from the source. They've messed with his life. They've turned it upside down, and yeah, they've abused him in some ways. And that's what they told him, that this is essentially some kind of farm, and that we're, to some degree, they consider us their property because genetically they put things into us that belong to them. So, and in fact, you know, if you read Colonel Corso's book that Bill Burns wrote, you know, he was basically saying the same thing, that they put that stuff. They put that technology here to make us more useful to them, not for our own benefit.
Well, do you think that we're seeing then more of a step up of UFO sightings over the last decade here? Because we seem to, as a planet, be really messing up our world, our lives, everything. Are they coming in to kind of, hey, before these guys screw up our farm, we better put them back in their place?
That there's an element of that. Here's the other thing, though. You got to understand, we didn't have this level of global communication until fairly recently.
Right.
So these events probably have been going on at the same level throughout history, and we didn't know it because we didn't know, first of all, what these things were. I mean, if we even acknowledge that they existed, like I said, we'd call them ghost lights or spirit balls or, you know, whatever, balls of fire. We just didn't know what they were, and we're still trying to understand what they are. Now, clearly, some of this stuff has been back-engineered, so that makes it even more difficult to discern, you know, what's homegrown and what's truly alien.
All right, we have to take our final break for this hour. We'll be back with more and wrap up with our guest, Robert Stanley. Again, if you'd like information, go to our Darkness Radio page, darknessradio.com. Click on upcoming shows. You'll see the picture of Robert and his book, Close Encounters, and you can click on that. It'll take you there to order the copy of the book, both electronic versions or the hardback copy of it, or the hard copy, I should say, you can get as well. All that information is on our site. We'll be back with more Paranormal Talk Radio with Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio right here on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 10 p.m. till midnight. I guess 9 p.m. till midnight.
Yeah, we got that extra hour.
Yeah, I forget about that. People forget. We've got the news that we start off every show with. International news Saturday nights, national news on Sunday nights with Bree Sanders, talking about all the weird news from around the world, and with Bree, all the weird news from around the United States.
That's right.
Our guest this evening is Robert Stanley. The book is called Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. You can get a copy of the book by going to darknessradio.com. Click on the upcoming shows link, and you'll find the links there for Mr. Stanley's website and for his book. Now, let me mention, too, Mr. Stanley, aside from doing the book, you also have Unicus Magazine and the Unicus Radio Hour. Is that correct?
I've got the magazine online, yeah. The Radio Hour is something I was just dabbling in. I've done about, I don't know, five or six shows. I've got about four of them posted there as podcasts now.
Okay.
You know, I don't have a network I've got some places I could go. Thank you for mentioning it. But I don't know. It's, as you guys understand from doing this, it's a lot of work to line up the guests and get your material ready, you know. You're doing it, what, like every night, aren't you?
Oh, we're on every weekend, yeah. Every Saturday weekend. And Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah, but even just once a week I found was really, I mean, considering how much other stuff I'm doing, it's, as much as I love actually hosting a show, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that it is. We know that for certain. What do you think with, now one of the claims that you have in the book, which is interesting to me, is that Washington, D.C. has the most UFO sightings per square mile on Earth.
Yeah, that wasn't me that came up with that statistic. I was surprised when I saw it, and that was based on a very limited amount of, I think it was 50 sightings in 50 years. I found quite a few more than that. In fact, I've got more. My database is over 250, and I've got the largest collection of DC UFO photographs anywhere outside of the military. But I'm making all that available to the public. Larry Hatch was the guy, the UFO statistician, that came up with that, and I corresponded with him on it, and he told me how he came up with that figure. It's not just because D.C. is small. It's because they've had a lot of sightings in that one particular area. And, yes, it's small, too. But what I also found in the book, which is really amazing to me, that the runners-up for that particular statistic are the 10 states surrounding D.C. So the whole eastern seaboard, but it's the hub of it, the hub of that UFO activity is D.C., and then, of course, the surrounding areas like Virginia and Maryland and such. It's just, it's phenomenal, you know. And I know Hollywood's picked up on it, and they came out with this crazy remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still, and it's unfortunate that they had to ruin that original film like that, but, you know, whatever. The truth is a lot stranger than fiction, though. That's the thing I've come away with from all my research on this. I am continually amazed at the level of information that I'm finding that has been overlooked. And I understand that if you took one of these stories or one of these photographs by itself, it would probably not make as much of an impact as when you take all of this information together as a timeline, a historic timeline, and then you see that, my God, the activity is enormous. The level of activity is very high. It's ongoing, and it does deserve to be reported to the American public. I don't expect people to get up out of their easy chairs and rush to D.C. and try to do anything about it, or even calling your congressman is a waste of time. You know, one of the guys I interviewed there was a D.C. lawyer that had worked for the Carter administration, and you know, he told me straight out, you know, Carter had promised he was going to disclose the UFO stuff once he got to be president. Well, he ordered Congress to do a special investigation, and they did, but they didn't disclose it. You know, so I think it's a legitimate question. We still have to ask, even if we don't put this to a vote, is whether or not we should have open contact. It's still important to put pressure on our leaders, so-called, to give us some straight answers on this, because I know they're still investigating, even though they don't admit it officially. Unofficially, I know they're investigating it. Our military...
Well, what if you're right, though, and the fact is that we're dealing more with the dark side of the universe. We're dealing more with the bad guys, and we know that. Our government already knows that, even by them coming forward and saying, hey, you know, yeah, we're kind of doing this. I mean, there's no good answer that they can give us or anybody can give us that won't make the people of Earth go nuts if they find out we're dealing with the dark guys to keep ourselves alive. Somebody's getting their pockets lined by the dark side, you know, to get what they need to get done here on our planet. I mean, it sounds, you know, I know what I've seen. I've witnessed what I believe to be UFO activity. I've seen what I can't judge anything other than a possible alien in Trout Lake, Washington. So I know I've seen things. When you start hearing all the conspiracy theories of they're hiding this, I mean, it's obvious the government's hiding something. They slip up once in a while and they release a document that gives way too much information, unless that's what they're trying to do so that they can discredit other people. I'm not sure why it's all going on at this point. I don't know. I mean, do you really see that in the next 10 to 50 years we're going to get a straight answer from anybody that's going on unless, of course, the aliens do just land and say, hey, we're here?
Yeah, and they've had plenty of opportunities to do that. I mean, look, they clearly were, I think they're intelligent, okay? Give them that. And I'm pretty sure they knew that there was a photographer there at the time. In some ways, it looks like a photo op. It's not the first time that they've been photographed. I think they're trying to do this gently. The good guys are anyway. The bad guys, of course, they're not going to just land and get out and say, hey, we're here to control you. You know, you're part of our empire. You're our subjects. I mean, that's not going to go over too well. And I think they know that as well. So it's a strange situation. Honestly, there is no easy answer, but we need to at least try to put pressure somewhere, or at least get something, the ball rolling in the right direction, because just sitting around denying that anything's going on is not to our benefit.
I agree. Well, Robert, I appreciate you coming on the show with us here this evening and spending the hour with us.
My pleasure.
Anything else you'd like to report people to let them know in the last minute we have here on the show that you want to get out?
You know, like I said, check back. There's a lot of free information on the website. I mean, I think the only way you're going to get the full picture is to read the book. But even so, like I said, I'm writing a second one because I found so much more information. Most of that is being posted on the website. But
And you have video footage. You have all types of things on the website as well, correct?
Yes, I've great. Collected the. This is the world's largest archives of DC UFO activity. Period. So you're not going to get. I mean, nobody else is doing this. Everybody else I know is actually scared to touch this story. Obviously the mainstream, but even some of the smaller people are really nervous about dealing with this because it's such a hot potato.
Right.
I mean, we're talking D.C.
Well, we got to go here. Real quick question for you on this. Are you being threatened because of this information? Are you one of the ones the government and the black ops are coming after?
Yeah, there's a picture of a black helicopter I took over my house right after I broke the story internationally in July of 2005. They haven't been, you know, too cruel about it, but they've hacked my website, you know, and nobody's threatened my life.
Well, keep in touch with us, too. When the new book comes out, we want to follow up with you more on this and keep up with the stories. Thank you very much, Mr. Stanley. We appreciate your time this evening. Again, check out our website, folks, at darknessradio.com. Go on the upcoming shows. You'll find a link there to order Mr. Stanley's book, either in an electronic form or in the hardback copy. Stay tuned. We're going to be back after the top of the hour with our next guest, Diane Tessman. She's a noted contactee, abductee, a psychic, and a channeler. We're going to talk about what she's been able to have happen and her predictions for 2009 and beyond. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio on 100.3 K-Talk.